Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're going to get the ladies in here to talk some Disney here in just a minute or two. But before we do that, I wanted to remind you of our awesome sponsors who make the Be Our Guest podcast possible. Please drop by themagicforless.com this week when you are looking, you know, to plan your 2018 Walt Disney World, Disney Cruise Line, or Disneyland vacation. They're the experts. They're a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for being the best of the best. Their guests love them and come back time and time again for the great service they get. Let me tell you, right now is the time to book that 2018 Walt Disney World vacation, even if you're going down in the spring or summer, because dates are booking up quickly. I can tell you personally, I was working with a guest and we were looking for some mid-May dates at some specific resorts, and they're already gone. So jump on that right now. You can book your vacation with just a $200 deposit. That deposit is fully refundable until 31 days prior to travel. So there really is no risk to lock in that resort and those dates you're looking for. And that way you have the peace of mind knowing you have that set for that great 2018 vacation. So jump on that right now. Also some great cruises through the beginning and middle of 2019 with Disney Cruise Line. Disneyland's out there where Walt created the magic himself. Lots of great Disney adventures to be had. So drop by themagicforless.com today, fill out that free, no obligation quote, and you and I are going to be working together on an amazing Disney getaway. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, while you're doing that online shopping this weekend, please support the Be Our Guest podcast by clicking through beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It's a very painless way to support the Be Our Guest podcast. Costs you absolutely nothing extra. You'll get all of your Prime benefits, but it really does help support the show as we move into 2018 with some pretty exciting things coming your way. So again, when you're online shopping, sitting on the couch tonight, maybe browsing from the kitchen table tomorrow morning, don't forget, as you're shopping, put everything in the cart on the mobile app if that's what you do. But then go to your browser, go to beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon, check out there, and support the Be Our Guest podcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1260 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Howdy, y'all. We're getting ready to head to Frontierland and talk about, we're going to start a new mini-series here that we hope that you will enjoy and especially get your feedback and maybe think about some things that we might do that we often overlook on our Disney vacations, because especially, you know, we're going down for New Year's Eve and the marathon weekend. This, you know, even though we're going to be there, I'm excited. We're going to be there for like 9 days, 8 nights because of the holiday and the races now. But the thing is, like, there's so much going on with seeing friends and running races that what's going to happen, I can tell you right now, this is why I wanted to do this trip, is that I will get home and say that, man, we didn't do a lot of things that I really want to do that I enjoy that I overlook time and time again. So we're going to kind of dive into some of those things that maybe, you know, we overlook, we don't do that we should maybe consider doing on our next trip. So we're going to talk about that, focus on Frontierland today. So joining me today, riding in on her, I don't know, what do you ride in on a steed or something? I don't know, from Atlanta, Georgia.
I don't
want to say high horse. That's what it is. From the Mouse for Less, we got touring plans. We got a Disney World After All.com. She's coming in from North Georgia. We have Ricky. What's going on, Ricky?
You know, just getting over that Disney crud. So,
no doubt. I'm not looking forward to that part of the trip because going in the wintertime, you get it every time. I get it in the summer too. Oh, in the winter, especially.
You do. It feels like every time I go in the winter, I pick up something. So, you know, yeah. If your kids are sick, don't go to Disney.
No kidding. Well, you know what's funny is though, Mallory and I, I walk her to school every morning, and it had been earlier in the week, it had been like 75, like ridiculously warm. And then overnight, like the next day, the high was like 38. I mean, it just like punched you in the face. It was so cold. And we're walking to school that first cold morning, and we're talking about, and this is so bad, but if you're from the like Midwest or the North, you kind of get this. We were saying how we want it to be like super punch in the face cold the day we leave for Florida, and then to be really warm when we land, because it just makes your trip all the better. When you land in Florida, it's like, oh, humidity. It's warm.
Yes.
I'm like hot because I have on a long sleeve shirt. Like we want it to be like zero in St. Louis when we take off and it's like hot down in Florida.
There was no humidity this past weekend. It was gorgeous. Oh my goodness. It's supposed to get chilly though this weekend. So I heard like, I think I saw like highs in the 50s or something like that. So yeah, it snapped real quick over there, but it was gorgeous this weekend. So I guess I lucked out.
That's not cool. I need it to be at least 70. I want to be able to sport the shorts, you know, and to be able to chill. I mean, that's when you're from the Midwest and you can send back the pictures on Instagram to your friends back home when you're in your shorts and everybody's freezing. That's part of the reason you go. You know, that's part of the deal. So I have to get that cranked back up. Anyway, also joining us from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Where Pam, I know you're kind of the same way. It can be bitter in Pittsburgh. You land in Florida and you're in paradise all of a sudden.
Yes, that's absolutely it. And we've had sort of a miserable week here, a lack of sun, a huge amount of rain, and it doesn't look Christmassy at all, I'm just going to say. I mean, you know, at this time of year, I'm okay with it snowing. Like, go ahead. As soon as the Christmas lights are out on the house, it can snow after that. And then I can take a picture. And boom, it's Christmassy. <That's>
it. But anyway. There's nothing worse than like cold rain. You know, just if it's going to be cold rain, just be nice snow. Let's do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyways, so I'm ready. I'm ready to get some sun, see the sun again, and have some nice weather. So let's hope that we have a marathon weekend that is coming up that is just beautiful.
Yes, not bitter cold, please.
No.
Please.
Yeah, because like when you're out there at 3 o'clock in the morning, it's cold even if it's warm, you know. So let's don't play that game, weather person, Mother Nature. Let's don't do that. We've done that before. Let's have some mercy this year. Anyway, I want to send a shout out to my friends, the Gardeners and the Sheingolds, driving in today to St. Louis. We're all doing the hot chocolate 5 and 15K on Sunday. So there was a rumor that there may be snow falling somewhere in the Midwest today. Hopefully that is not happening for them on their commute in. So if you're running the hot chocolate in St. Louis on Sunday, look for us. We'll be around and I'd love to say hi. And, you know, also I wanted to say this. I am really, and Mallory and I, you know, we're a lot alike. We are really, really excited about staying at All-Star Movies. That is the only place, one of the only resorts I still have not stayed. I've stayed at Sports and I've stayed at Music.
Wait, what?
More than once, but I've never stayed at Movies. Well, you know how much I like movies. You know, I'm much more of a music sports kind of person. But, you know, we've been looking at the resort guide on the Mouse for Less and looking at the pictures of the, you know, the feature pool that's got kind of the looks like a frame of a theater with like a Sorcerer Mickey and the Mighty Ducks and Buzz and Woody and all. I mean, I've run through there before when I've stayed at one of the other resorts, but you know, I think there's something to be said for staying, you know, at all levels of resorts, and we're really excited to stay at Movies.
Wow.
I'm in shock. I'm actually in shock that you haven't stayed there.
No, I mean, we're staying at Beach Club. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to like say, oh, we're not going to stay at Beach Club because we got a great deal with the group with that. But yeah, Movies is going to be a new experience. So it's going to be fun just for a few nights and we'll be down there with friends. So that's what matters. So anyway,
that's awesome.
Excited for that. Can't wait. So anyway, here we go. Let's talk about, we're going to call this mini series Trapped In and Then a Land. So today, Trapped In Frontierland. So say you went to the Magic Kingdom and you forced yourself for some reason, you know, just because you wanted to really have that environmental experience of staying in a land and getting a full day, seeing it from rope drop to lunchtime to mid-afternoon to when the sun sets to the evening. Could you stay in that land and what could we do? Because obviously that would give you the chance to see everything in that land, maybe snack on everything in that land, ride all the attractions, and maybe even, you know, see fireworks from a different perspective in that land, or, you know, see a parade in that land. And I think Frontierland's a good place to start because really when you think about it, it has minor attractions. It's got e-ticket attractions. It's got really cool background music. It's got good dining. One thing it's lacking, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but I mean, it's really got snacks. It's got a place to watch fireworks, it's got a place to watch a parade. So Pam, when I kind of brought this idea up about Trapped in Frontierland, what were your first thoughts of this land at the Magic Kingdom? Because I don't think it pops out maybe as much as Adventureland or Fantasyland or Tomorrowland. I think it's kind of a forgotten land at the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think what's funny is when you talk about, you know, really diving deep into one of the lands at the Magic Kingdom, I first went to the Magic Kingdom in Walt Disney World in the 70s, and I was really little, so can hardly remember anything. But when, you know, I had in the last few years looked at all of the paper that my mom saved from that trip, right? The park maps and things like that, and their plans. And we really explored one land sort of a day. We were lucky to get, you know, one or two lands in a day. So I thought that was really interesting that we kind of like, you know, approached it that way, that we approached the land as like a full day park almost. And I think that's so funny. But anyways, you know, Frontierland, I think, is so themed. When you walk right into it, first of all, you hear the music that is quintessential Frontierland. If you hear nothing else, if you see nothing else, you know you're in Frontierland just because of the music. And then it has really unique architecture too, in keeping with the theme of that. You know, a lot of the things that you might expect to see in the Wild West, and you'll see it there too. So love that. And even some of the dining options, I think, really fit with the theme too. So I think it's just a really themed land, and I appreciate that about it.
Yeah, when I think of Frontierland, really the only thing that's missing is like dust and tumbleweed, you know, which you really can't have at a, you know, in a major theme park. But I mean, you have the boardwalk, you know, the covered boardwalk along by the Country Bears and along that side there down to Pecos Bills. And I think it sets the scene, and there's just so much to do there. So, Ricky, initially, what are your thoughts on Frontierland? Is it one of those places you forget? I like how Pam said, because maybe Walt Disney intended us to spend, you know, go land by land. But I think in 2017, moving into 2018 here, you know, we tend to whisk through, you know, we got to go Splash Mountain's our first fast pass of the day. Oh, then we got to go Space. You know, maybe we just bust through places and don't really experience the lands the way we should.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, I know that I'm definitely guilty of it, of whisking through lands and getting through things faster than I probably should. But the thing that I really think is so special about Frontierland is it doesn't, on the surface, it doesn't seem like it has a terribly lot of stuff to do. I mean, you know, it kind of has a sprawling situation going there. But then when you actually really dive into the land itself and look at the pieces of the land, there really is a lot to do in Frontierland that you maybe wouldn't think about. So I think Frontierland is definitely on my list of one of my favorite lands, probably because it has a few of the best attractions in the Magic Kingdom, and some pretty darn good food too. So, you know, I think that it's definitely a good land, and I agree with you, Mike. I think it's a good starting land for this tour that we're going to be taking around.
Yeah, because the thing is, I think it has, you said it just right, I think it has more than you think. Like, I don't get excited typically about going to Frontierland. Like, you know, I'm more of a Tomorrowland, Adventureland at night kind of guy. You know, Fantasyland, of course, like for the girls. But like, I think people like Frontierland's on the back of the burner there. But then I want to go through like what it has to offer. And I think it might have more to offer as a comprehensive land than any of the others when you really break it down. So I'm going to kind of just, and, you know, we're not going to take the time to break down every attraction and everything. But when you think about it, we're going to try to hit everything that is in Frontierland. So I'm going to hit the e-ticket attractions, of course, of Splash Mountain and Big Thunder Mountain, two of the best attractions in the Magic Kingdom, side by side back in Frontierland. You know, the one thing you got to think of, you can get trapped back there if you have a parade happening, you know, late at night.
Yes.
You know, it's one of those things you can't get to it or you can't get out of it. But, you know, when you think about two e-ticket attractions that are just at the top of the list there for Magic Kingdom, you have Splash and Big Thunder back there. So you have not one e-ticket attraction in Frontierland, but two. And now, Pam, I want you to kind of talk about some of the secondary level attractions that we have in Frontierland. And I think, you know, because with two headliners, you got a good start. But I think there's a lot of other things you can do in Frontierland, you know, while you're waiting out a fast pass for maybe Splash or Big Thunder.
Oh, yeah. There's really so much to do, I think, in Frontierland. And I think, like you said, Mike, you do have the headlining attractions. And those are attractions that you are going to want to go ahead and book those fast passes for. Big Thunder and Splash. Splash, especially in the summer months, can sometimes be challenging to, you know, to go ahead and get a fast pass for. So I think it's worth, you know, really saying you need to do that one in advance. But in addition to those headline attractions. First of all, you have the Walt Disney World Railroad. It has a station there and it stops there. So I think that's, you know, an attraction that everyone loves for one reason or another. Some people like to take a little nap. Some people like to take, you know, it's perfect for small babies or for those who don't like thrill attractions. So the Walt Disney Railroad is part of Frontierland. And you'll see when you ride it, you know, that it really showcases some vignettes that are quintessential Frontierland, really, not like anything else. In addition, there's also Tom Sawyer Island, which again is another great place to relax, let kids, you know, burn off some energy. And it, you know, sometimes it feels like it's a little cooler there in the summer. I don't know how. Maybe it's just the tree cover.
Yeah, it's a shade, but... I think. And, and plus it is a way kind of, I mean, I don't know how far it has to be to kind of get away from the urban, you know, urban heat island effect or whatever. But I think it's just you're just not as squashed in with people out there. It's nice.
No, that's absolutely true. So it is a really cool location. And then finally, we have the Country Bear Jamboree, which is really a Walt Disney World original. Love the Country Bear Jamboree. I think it's just... It's hard to describe until you see it, but let's just say there's a lot of audio animatronics, singing bears, and everyone's favorite Big Al, of course, is featured in that show. So those are some of the things, you know, that you don't have to make FastPass Plus arrangements for. And I think that's really important to have attractions and shows that you can fit around your existing FastPass Plus reservations. So.
You know, you mentioned that, and here's one thing, and I want to get Ricky's thoughts on this too, is that I think that Frontierland works really well for the family and, you know, for couples and for everybody, but especially for the family, in that the e-ticket attractions are what I consider kind of coming of age e-ticket attractions where, you know, Rock and Roller Coaster takes a certain level of guts to go on because it goes so fast, it goes upside down. Expedition Everest goes pretty high, you know, and it's an intense ride where Splash Mountain does have the big drop, you know, and Big Thunder is kind of a step between Space Mountain and maybe a Seven Dwarfs Mine Train or like a Barnstormer back in the day. It's kind of that mid-level thrill coaster, you know, doesn't go upside down, doesn't go super fast, doesn't go really high, you know, but it's, I think both Splash and Big Thunder are something those like, you know, 6, 7, 8 year olds, you know, they can really feel grown up by going on. And then, you know, in that instance, you know, you do have things that are family friendly, like Country Bears. And also, you know, like I said, Tom Sawyer Island's for everybody. And I think kids nowadays need to get out there because that's a different kind of play that's almost gone today. You know, like exploring caves and just running around like a crazy person out there in the fort. You know, Fort Langhorne's awesome. And kids might not even have ever had an experience close to that. And that might be their favorite thing, but it takes work to get over there. But I think it's not to be missed. So, Ricky, what are your thoughts on Frontierland for, like, everybody? I think it's got a little bit of everything.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was saying is there really is something for everybody to enjoy there. And, you know, I know that that Splash and Big Thunder can even be scary for the adults sometimes, you know. But it's totally worth getting on. The storytelling in Splash is seriously some of the best storytelling at, you know, in a Walt Disney World theme park. I mean, you've got that just... it's based off of a story that most people have never even seen the movie. So, you know, that's what's even more incredible about something like Splash is that it's such a over-encompassing great story, and it can tell you the story without having to ever see the movie, which is just makes it such a classic attraction in its own right. But you know, you do have the things like I have to tell you, I did not understand the joy of Tom Sawyer Island until a couple, like about a year ago, year and a half ago. Like I'd gone over there once and I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And then Brian and I went over there like a year and a half ago, and we're like, I understand now why Tom Sawyer Island is the best. Like, it's seriously, if you're just there for a go, you know, attraction, I can understand why Tom Sawyer Island may be kind of a snooze fest to you. But if you are there to have a little bit of relaxation, or maybe, like Mike said, get away from the crowds for a little bit, whatever, Tom Sawyer Island is the best place to go. It, as Pam said, it's kind of shaded over there. It does feel a little bit cooler, a little. Probably not, but you know, it feels like it. It probably because you're not crammed in by about 50,000 other people. But there's something so peaceful and serene about knowing that you are on this island with not that many other people, and one of the most popular theme parks is just buzzing by around you. Like it's such a cool feeling, and it's so bizarre. But Tom Sawyer Island is the best place to just go and relax. And for some people, have birthday parties and bring cakes.
That's it. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like a private rental. The Magic Kingdom is basically what it is. I mean, it's without the price, you know. I think it's very nostalgic for people that are of my generation, because I remember, and Ricky, you're too young, but our Six Flags in St. Louis back when I was a kid had a fort just like Fort Langhorne. I mean, it was huge. It was over by the log ride, over where the Evel Knievel ride is now. But I mean, that was like my favorite thing when I was like 5, 6, 7. You played and you explored in the fort. And I think a lot of, you know, people of my, you know, era, like, you know, early 40s, late 30s, had those kind of, you know, somewhere in your town, you had a big fort that you played in and you did that. And I think not only are people my age, but then like my kids who maybe have never played in a gigantic fort like that, they think that is like the most cool thing because it's like novel. They've never, ever seen it. And even if you're a couple, go over there and just watch the joy on the kids' faces at Fort Langhorne. And you got like the barrel bridge. I mean, that's a blast in your kids. Let them get out on the bridge and then jump on it. Wow, wow. And then, you know, it's like catapulting them almost to the Haunted Mansion. It's a great family time. I mean, Pam, are we overselling Tom Sawyer Island? Because I really do enjoy it.
I don't think we are overselling it. I think that people, I mean, look, everyone hears about Flight of Passage and Space Mountain and all those other headliner attractions, but I don't think that people really go into, you know, detail about some of these lesser known attractions because a lot of people just don't experience them. And I think it's, you know, really cool to be able to do that and just enjoy some of the simpler pleasures. You know, they aren't always better, but sometimes they are.
Yeah. And speaking of, you know, minor things to do while you're in Frontierland, you have the Frontierland Shootin' Arcade, you know, and again, that's something that costs a few bucks, but what doesn't it? Walt Disney World, you know what? And it's not going to break the bank. And, you know, there's something to be said for like, if your kid just needs something to do for a few minutes and, you know what? This is kind of like a low-tech version of, like, you know, what your kids probably have at home. You know, even though it's not, you know, you're not shooting the pellets anymore. It's a virtual gun. But, I mean, you know, your Nintendo Wii or, you know, your PlayStation 4, whatever you have at home, your Xbox One, probably way better than this. But, again, it's kind of a physical environment, and they get a chance to do that in front of people. And, again, passed over many times, but it's an option. It's something to do that keeps you in Frontierland. So Ricky, have you ever done that? I've never done the Shooting Arcade. I've seen it many times, never done it. Never have.
I have actually done the Shooting Arcade once, I want to say. It was years ago. But I'm pretty sure that I've done it once. So it was fun. I mean, you know, like you said, it's just a shooting game, but you know, it's something to, you know, do in your time, either when you're waiting for another attraction or whatever. It's just fun. I mean, it's not spectacular, like, oh my gosh, I'm planning my Disney trip for this. But it's just one of those things that, you know, you never know what will surprise you on a trip, and this may just surprise you.
Yeah, I can't believe it's still there, to be honest, because I just think it's real estate that begs to be taken over.
I mean, what else are they going to put in there?
Like a mini stand, kind of something to sell things. I would think you could sell stuff.
I mean, they
make
money off the Shooting Arcade, so.
Yeah, but I think they could make more money off selling. Because, I mean, think about that one store that's next to the Country Bears. Like, it's like a Penn Station now, or what is it now? It's been a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
There's one that has candy next door to it, too. Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, I even like just going in there because it's like, I don't know, I just like those places that have the boardwalk out front. You know, it kind of reminds me of being like an old West town, even though I know it's just a pin store. But it's, again, it's the theme and it's all that stuff. So, of course, one of the best parts about being in a land is dining, you know. And the one thing I said's missing in Frontierland is a table service restaurant.
That's
no,
true.
No table service, but you have snacks and you have counter service. So, Pam, do you want to walk us through one of the best places to eat at the Magic Kingdom overall, Pecos Bill's?
It is. Pecos Bill's is one of the best places mm-hmm. to eat. And it just, excuse me, it has gone through a, you know, a change in menus over the past year. And I, for one, really appreciate that. You know that Mike does because you have kind of a Tex-Mex yes. menu at this point. And it's really, I think, has some great options. I think it's just kind of, it also has some history and some cool atmosphere as well. It really fits in, of course, with the Frontierland theme, but you can also read a little bit about Pecos Bill when you walk in through the front door. There's a kind of a plaque there, a poster there, where it really describes Pecos Bill and that whole thing. So the Tall Tale Inn and Cafe is what it's officially called, Pecos Bill Tall Tale Inn and Cafe, and they have items like a fajita platter and a burrito, and then they also have a salad with beef or chicken and a Southwest burger, a burrito has barbacoa beef and some other choices. But I think what Pecos Bill is most famous for is, of course, the toppings bar. And it includes cheese and sour cream and salsa and guacamole and different kinds of salsa available to add to your burger or burrito or fajitas or soft tacos, whatever you choose to get. And they've even started to carry some, I think, Chipotle inspired bowls of food as well. They have a veggie rice bowl and I think some other bowls too. So lots of good things to eat there at Pecos Bill. And they also have little churros that come with a little cup yes. of chocolate sauce.
Those Hello. Are so good. I love those. We call them churros because they cheer us up. Little churros.
Finally, the one thing that that they offer at Pecos Bill as well is this awesome Country Bear jug.
Yeah.
It's a plastic yeah. jug that you can get a drink in. It's not a bad deal when all said and done because it includes the actual fountain drink. So it's like less than $10. And this is one of those things that I was actually a sucker and bought because I have just such great memories of the Country Bears. Just remember it being there for so long that you bought that. And it makes a great souvenir. So hello, the little Pecos Bill Country Bear jug.
You know what, though? That's one of those things where Disney is, you know, testing your willpower. Because I remember, like, back in the day, they had a cowboy boot, like, that you filled up with yes. soda. And so I was like, oh, I do not need that. But, like, I wanted it so bad. And then when they came out with the jug from Country Bear, I was like, dude, that's even cooler. You know, I need that. But then I'm like, I would get that home. I got like, a bowling pin sitting here that I got at Splitsville that was filled with soda. Like, it just sits here. Like, what am I doing with this stupid thing? Like, it's dumb. So I haven't bought it yet. Not saying I won't. It's like those things, like, if you spend $29.99, you can get this throw. I have so many throws, I can't even, like, fit them in my closet anymore. Like, you know, I don't need a bag. I don't need a throw. They're always, like, tempting you with, oh, that's so cool. Like, I need that. No, I don't need that. Like, you're slapping yourself. You're having that inner dialogue. So, you know, I think Pecos Bill's is great, you know, and it's got ample seating, especially when it's hot. You know, it's air conditioned in there. People might not know they have restrooms within the restaurant itself. So if you need to go to the restroom or, you know, you're trying to wrangle the kids and get stuff done, it's a good option. So, Ricky, let me ask you this. Was it a good option? Was it an upgrade when Pecos Bill's a couple years back changed over to the Tex-Mex rather than kind of the burgers and fries? I mean, what fits the theme better and what's a better experience for the guests in the Magic Kingdom?
150% better change with the Tex-Mex sort of deal that they've got going on now. I mean, it's just, it's so delicious. They do still have a couple burger options if you really, 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 really need a burger. But it's just, it's so, so much better. I mean, it went from one of the places that I never stopped at to one of the places I almost always stop at. So, I mean, when you've made a huge drastic turnaround like that, I think you're doing something right. So, I mean, it is seriously one of my favorite places to go at the Magic Kingdom now. So,
all right.
I think they did a good job.
I did too. I just wanted to get your opinion. I love it. Those fajitas are good.
Also, I just want to mention that if you're looking for a turkey leg, obviously Frontierland is a place you're going to want to go.
Well, that's where I was going next, snacking all right. in Frontierland. So, Ricky, walk us through some of the – there's actually quite a few snacks that are available out on the kind of the promenade area in Frontierland.
There, so obviously we got the turkey leg. So if you want to get that, you certainly want to make sure you stop here. I don't get the appeal of the turkey leg. It is not my cup of tea. I don't mind eating bird off of a bone, but there's just
It tastes just like ham.
You're right. It is ham, I think. It's crazy. It totally does taste just like ham.
It's not good. I can't do it.
Plus, then you have to watch people.
Yeah, you look like a caveman. Totally, it's awesome. Yeah, I might get one for marathon weekend and eat it while I run the whole dope. Like the marathon Sunday, I might just eat one the whole 26 miles.
I forget
the nun, the noon, and the
whole time.
Exactly,
like the
exactly.
Smell of it, the grease of it.
You know, people take those little shots. Yeah, like
no,
that.
That is one thing that I will not put in my purse, fam.
I'm just saying.
I would pay money to see you put that in your pocket and pull it out every now and then.
No, that is definitely not happening for me. So I'm sorry to tell you. It's just,
Instead of like the goo and the noon shots and all that stuff the runners take, I'm going turkey leg this year. You know, I have all the nutrition I need.
It has sodium to help you replenish. It has some protein. I mean, you know.
And did we mention, too, that Frontierland's got the most advanced audio animatronics anywhere on Walt Disney World property, and those cranes, you know, they look so lifelike. I mean, they just walk right out in the promenade. They come up to the guests. I mean, they're amazing. Like they look so real.
Yeah, they definitely do. Oh my God. All right. Those cranes. Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, more snacking.
Moving back to snacks. Yeah. I believe also, if I remember right, if I've seen this right, there is a maple popcorn that they have over, I think, in this area, too. I haven't tried it yet, but it's on my list of things to try. Over at Golden Oak Outpost, they have... I'm sad that they took away a long time ago the waffle fries with the various toppings on them. Again, I thought that was fantastic. Disney, good job on the... No, it's gone. So now you can just get chicken breast nuggets with waffle fries. That makes me sad because seriously, it would not be too terribly extra to have some waffle fries with toppings on it there in addition to your chicken breast nuggets. But yeah, whatever.
Exactly. So you also have, you know, is that all the same? You can get churros out there too. The big long ones on the promenade, right? They're still there.
Yeah, I think you can.
And pretzels. I think you can get pretzels.
You absolutely can get pretzels. Many a time I've sat and watched the 3 o'clock parade with a pretzel from Frontierland. So yes, they're there.
Now you'd have to kind of cross the path there, but you have usually an ice cream cart, like down towards Liberty Square, down by the Frontierland Shooting Arcade, usually one of those carts. So you might have to leave premises. But, you know, one of the most important things you can get on a Disney vacation, you can get, I think one of the only places you can get it is in Frontierland. Pam, you know what I'm talking about? What do you think? The coonskin, the coonskin cap.
Oh,
I mean, what vacation is complete without that?
I don't know how we didn't get that, Pam. Yeah.
Is there not like a stand right across the way that sells those right there in Frontierland?
There absolutely is. And it's at like Al's Trading Post or something like that. I mean, it's something, Al has something to do with that. And they do offer sometimes some plush and some other merchandise with the Country Bear theme right there too. But yes, the coonskin cap is usually there. And it's kind of a cool thing. I mean, you don't see those every day.
No. And you'll be the only person in town with one of those. And you'll be the coolest guy in town if you wear that, like as you ride in your convertible. I'm just like a Jeep. That'd be sweet. Anyway, also, you know, you got your pins. You got the pin store, so you can shop there. And they have other, you know, various items in there. But, you know, a lot of pins and stuff. I can't think of any more merchandise, really. I mean, other than like the post Splash Mountain store, it's got, you know, Splash Mountain.
And there's the
Briar Patch.
What is it? Briar Fat Patch. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And you know how you mentioned, you know, the backstory to Splash Mountain? Ricky, you know how I know that story? Because I've never seen Song of the South. But when I was a kid, imagine this, one year when I was probably 5 or 6 or 7, one of my gifts I got was a Fisher-Price record player. Okay, so it was like this little plasticky record player, but it played real 45s. And I got these books that came probably about like 6 inches by 6 inches. They're squares. And they came with an enclosed 45 that read the story to you, like a little illustrated, kind of like a golden book, but it wasn't a golden book. And one of the things I got was Brer Rabbit, and it told the story of Brer Rabbit and the Briar Patch. Yeah, and that's how I knew the story. But like, you put the little record on, and it read the book to you. And I got a lot of those, and that's kind of how I've never seen the movie, but that's how I know the backstory to Splash.
Interesting. Yep.
I used to have those as well. I mean, just mine. I remember someone had purchased like a whole little case of them for me that had a handle on them. So I guess that was the like first incarnation of the Walkman. Somebody thought I was going to haul this like little 40-pound thing of records around with me, but it had a handle on it, and they were all Disney stories. And I used to play those records again and again and again.
And it's it. I mean, it's like it's your intro to DJing, and all of a sudden you end up doing a podcast. You know, 30 years later, it's 40 years later. It's nuts. That's what happens. Don't get your kid a record player. So anyway, let's kind of wrap this up, start to put a bow on it. One of the things I would say about Frontierland is it's one of the most amazing places within the Magic Kingdom to take pictures. You can take pictures of Tom Sawyer Island. You can take pictures of the boardwalk area. You get lots of great pictures of Splash Mountain and Big Thunder, you know, seeing the attraction itself. But also when you're on Tom Sawyer Island, you can get some amazing pictures back of Frontierland and Liberty Square, especially Haunted Mansion while you're out on the island. Great place for photographers. But also, it's a great place. You wouldn't think about it, but it's a great place to wrap up your night with, you know, when and if an evening parade does come back to the Magic Kingdom. It's one of the best places to see that, especially if you're there for a hard ticket event. And also for Wishes, I've seen Wishes from that bridge out, that kind of boardwalky bridge that takes you back over the mm-hmm. water there. You know what? That's not a bad spot to watch fireworks. Pam, do you ever see it back there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wishes Happily Ever After. Well, it used to be Wishes. You know, now with the projections, it's probably not as great. I didn't think about that.
You won't be able to see all the projections, but you will be able to see the fireworks, and it's not a place that you have to stake out way in advance. And I think that's what I really enjoyed about it.
Yeah, it was just kind of like, you know, it wasn't like, oh, we camped here to see Wishes back in the day, but it was like, oh, the fireworks are starting. Let's stop for 10 minutes, watch them. You know, it wasn't ideal, but it was a pretty cool, you know, it was a different perspective of Cinderella Castle and fireworks going off above it. So, Ricky, as we put a bow on Frontierland, we'll move into the other lands, moving into 2018. You know, any other things to think about for folks that maybe never, you know, consider spending any time in Frontierland other than maybe doing Big Thunder and Splash?
You know, the minute that you spend additional time in Frontierland, you will think, why haven't I done this before? That's exactly what Brian and I have thought since we've done it now. We think all the time of, why did it take us this long to go and enjoy Frontierland the way, you know, really fully enjoy Frontierland. So you definitely want to try and enjoy a little bit of the kitschy stuff that Frontierland has, because I think that's kind of what it is. It's a little kitschy, but it's still fun. So stop, enjoy Country Bear Jamboree, or go to Tom Sawyer Island, or do the Frontierland Shooting Arcade. Just really enjoy your time there. I promise you, you're going to have fun.
Grab a coonskin cap and get a churro and just
don't get a turkey leg.
Turkey leg in the other hand. Yeah. And, you know, and walk amongst the cranes, because they will be following you around if you have a turkey leg and a churro in your hands. And just take it all in. Listen to the banjo playing, the guitars, you know, in the background, and enjoy it. It's a beautiful part of the park. So hopefully, you know, if nothing else, that's why I want to do this series. Maybe you're on a long run. Maybe you're in the car getting ready to go to work. Hopefully you escaped to Frontierland here for the last 35 minutes. And, you know, that's what I like on podcasts. Like, oh, man, I feel like I was in Frontierland there. I really thought about that. So hopefully that helped you out today. And hopefully you'll spend some time there in your next trip. All right, time to wrap this one up. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. So when it comes time to that next trip to Frontierland at the Magic Kingdom, or out on Disney Cruise Line sailing out, or going to Disneyland as well, check out the agents over at the Magic for Less. They're professional, they're passionate about the Disney destinations, and they're going to help you plan an amazing trip for the lowest cost possible. So drop by themagicforless.com today, fill out that free, no obligation quote, let them know you heard about them here on the BR Guest Podcast, and they will be back to you right away. So check them out again over at themagicforless.com. This weekend, while you're doing that shopping, don't forget brguestpodcast.com/Amazon for all of your online shopping needs. We really, really appreciate your support. Again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike. And drop by the Facebook group. Lots of great Disney fans talking Disney every day, all day over there. It's facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. All right, time to cut you loose for the weekend. We're going to be running down in Forest Park this weekend. If you're running the hot chocolate, come by and say hi. Nothing like running a 15K race where every 2 miles they're throwing chocolate at you. Either, you know, marshmallows, or like big chocolate chips, or Hershey Kisses, or miniatures. and they give you hot chocolate at the end. It's fondue too. It's awesome in a big mug, and it's going to be freezing, so we'll need it. So if you're out there, say hey, and everybody else have some good training runs. I know the Lizards, big weekend, the last long run. I know a lot of people are going 26 for the marathon this weekend. Hopefully we're with you. Just hang in there. You'll make it step by step, mile by mile. You're going to get there. We're going to have a great marathon weekend here in about 3 weeks. Not too long now. All right. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wishing you an awesome weekend. Whatever you do, stay safe. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.